Death and the Harlot, written by Georgina Clark and read by Claire Trusson.
Chapter 1. Soho, March 1759. There are few sights more ridiculous than a fat old man naked from the waist down. Mr. George Reed pulled off his wig and fumbled with his breeches. The most successful cloth merchant in Norwich, as he had told me more than once in the tavern, was struggling to reach his shoe buckles without grunting. His belly sagged under his vast shirt. At last he stood triumphant and wiped a handkerchief across his brow to remove all signs of effort. Ah, Mr. Reed. Another respectable tradesman from the Shires with time on his hands, money in his purse, and a liking for pretty young women, who had found his way to the best bawdy house in London. In a moment, he would be clambering over me, with all the excitement of a youth half his age. Unless his heart gave out first. Nothing much was stirring below the shirt, mind. Mr. Reed was going to need a helping hand. I shifted position on the bed, allowing a wisp of muslin to float away and expose a little more flesh. His eyes danced apologetically, but little else twitched. I lay there staring at a long and tedious evening. Poor old goat. He really did want some help. I eased myself up onto an elbow and flashed him the famous Lizzie Hardwick smile. The smile that they speak of in taverns from Marylebone to Fleet Street, so I'm told. The smile that brings them running to throw gold into my lap. Well, goodness me, Mr. Reed, what have we here? I leaned forward so that he could see even more of me and lifted the hem of his shirt. He straightened his back. Upon my honour, I don't think I have seen the promise of such magnificence since I entertained the Duke of Rutland. His eyes widened. Every word a lie, of course. I have no honour. George Reed was not magnificent, and nor was he going to be. And I would never question the fidelity of any duke to his duchess. But one thing that my career has taught me is that men will hear what they want to hear from the mouth of a beautiful woman, especially when she is nearly naked.
The Duke of Rutland was here?
I changed the angle of my leg, revealing the treasure for which he was paying so handsomely. His Grace was right here. But he wasn't as splendid as you, Mr. Reed.
Really?
He was, of course, susceptible to flattery. Hush now, sir. There's really no need for you to boast. Only bring yourself a little closer and keep me company. I patted the pillow next to me. Perhaps I could get this over with quickly. Polly, Emily and Lucy would be home soon with gossip to share, and Ma Farley was downstairs with a new girl. He didn't need to be invited twice and strutted like a bloated peacock, ready to give me the benefit of his superior physique. A full 5 minutes later, I rolled him off and left him to doze. I couldn't leave the room until he was dressed. That was one of the rules of our house. There was little point dressing myself at this hour, so I left off my stays, shrugged a loose gown over my shoulders, and tied it at the waist. I sat at the table to fasten up my hair with a blue ribbon. Blue was my colour. It set off my copper curls to their best advantage. I scrutinised the girl in the mirror. 19 years old, considered slightly built, and not yet showing the hardened face of a career on the town. I could still pass for much younger. I was respectably born, decently educated, and, just 6 months ago, was living in the comfort of my father's house. Now, I was here.